Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Hey, waiting for some calls. 914-338-0164 is our call in number. Please press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And, of course, we would love it if you joined us on Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked on our Blog Talk Radio profile, the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. I think we posted the show already to Facebook, so Saturday is not our usual day for broadcast. We actually just got a caller. So, let's bring this caller on, 413 area code. Hi.
Hi. Hello. I wasn't expecting to be put on. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you?
I am good. Surprised. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, we're normally on Wednesdays and Fridays, so this is not our normal day. Anyway, so you are on. What's your name?
My name is Alexandria.
Okay. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
Okay. Alexandria from Massachusetts.
Oh, all right. And what's your birth date, Alexandria? Full birth date.
May 31st, 1985.
31st, 1985. Okay. So talk to us. What's going on?
COVID, I guess. I was wondering if what I'm doing right now for a career is what I should be doing, or if
what
I should look for something.
I'm sorry, what you're doing, your voice actually, it was like some, it went out when you asked what you were doing.
I apologize.
Like, it's not your fault. I think it's the connection.
Okay. I'm on a cell phone, so that could be part of it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So the question I had is my current career. I'm not sure if that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I question myself quite often with everything in life, I guess. And I'm not sure if this is where I'm supposed to be.
So this is a career, not a just a job?
It's a career I've been doing. I think it's the part of the job that I'm doing. I'm a teacher. And where I've kind of been placed is not what I trained for. Times I'm... It's very difficult at times of what I'm doing, and I get very frustrated and upset when I get home. It's very draining, the part of teaching that I do.
So you're actually in the area that you're in is not requiring online teaching. You're actually in person.
I'm actually doing both. I'm teaching online and in person. With my students.
So they're dividing it, limiting
Correct.
In classroom. I don't understand that at all. But anyway,
I'm a severe needs teacher. So I work with the students that are severely, yes. And so it's been very difficult. A lot of personalities. I'm great with my students, but I'm a little awkward with adults and having to manage adults and not really being their supervisor, but them working under my license has been very difficult as well. And I have one particular person who's been very upset with me.
Okay, so is the structure that you're – I mean, obviously the structure has changed because of COVID.
Right.
But in dealing with these adults, is that different than what you dealt with in prior years teaching?
Yes.
So you have to deal with multiple other people that are adults. So is that and if I'm trying to understand why they're dividing the classroom time into in person and online. Is it to limit exposure? I mean, which to me is ridiculous. Like, what is the virus not going to be active at certain times of the day? You're less likely to catch if you're there less hours. I mean, it's just.
It was giving the parents a choice to say, okay, this is what you can do. You can have that choice between, because this with severe needs students, some students are immunocompromised. So parents are choosing to keep their student home versus having them come in. So that's been difficult.
I see. That makes sense. Are they doing that with normal classes though too? Giving the parents a choice?
Yeah.
Okay. Because here in the school district in our area, it's all online. No one's going to class. But of course, kids were all playing together in the neighborhood, which is like, I mean, it defeats the purpose of not having class, obviously.
Right. Well, in our area, our area is getting bad with COVID again. And we were pretty bad at the beginning. And in fact, I think I had it back in February. And I think some of my students also had it because everyone was getting sick right before we closed our school down. And so, it's just, I'm hypothesizing. I'm not sure, definitely for sure. But we're getting bad again in our area. So I'm thinking that we're probably going to be closing again for remote learning, which makes it difficult. But I didn't envision myself working with severe needs students, in all honesty. I was a high school math teacher and a high school science teacher for a private school. And I got a job as a science teacher working with special needs students, but not severe needs. So students with IEPs, and I loved it. And I thought, this is where I belong. And then I was told to go into this career, severe needs students. And
so you were Okay. But were you
difficult.
You transferred from the job in that school that you liked, the science job teaching special needs they transitioned you into this job doing the severe needs.
Yeah.
Meaning, are you teaching, I'm guessing that you're teaching multiple subjects then.
Yes.
You're not just focused on one subject, and it's probably multiple age groups just because of the fact that it's like severe needs are all kind of going into one area, a classroom.
Yes.
And there's, why did you change from a private school to this public school?
Private placement is not a lot of money. It's not a livable career path, especially with the amount of degrees you have to have for being a teacher. I wasn't getting paid very much, and I had some issues at the school I was at with administration not being very truthful. And I feel that it's very good to be honest and respectful with everybody and always be open, especially with students who are paying to go to school versus they could go to their public school for free. There's a lot of stuff going on there. And I went and I worked as an administrator for an agency to help students. And I wanted to work with these students. So I went back to teaching because I wasn't working directly with the students.
Okay. And you're having some issues with people that are now coming into the classroom or?
These people were in the classroom last year, but all of my students, almost every single one of them has an own para. So I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling if this is my career, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, if this is where I'm going. I love doing what I'm doing, but I don't know if I'm in the right place.
So it's not that you're questioning teaching, but
correct,
the place that you're in, the job that you're in, and the school that you're at right now that you're questioning.
Right.
Well, you know, Alexandria, the question sometimes is asked, have I lost my life path? And have I stumbled into something where I'm not supposed to be? Or am I here because this is part of my life path and there's not always a comfort zone element in that pathway? In other words, am I supposed to be here with this comfort? Am I supposed to be connecting to certain individuals because there's a past life pattern I have with these people? Or my challenge,
which I would agree with you, because I was confronted with someone who worked with my father who passed away about 8 years ago. And I knew she looked familiar and I couldn't place her until yesterday. And then I became, oh my God, now it's bringing up all of that stuff. So yes and no.
Yeah. See, what you're doing is you're calling psychics who are supposed to be evaluating your position, considering that we're trying to give you the best comfort zone possible and the best advice. But
right,
my take on this is you're supposed to be there. There's a reason. It's probably rooted in what you came into the world with in terms of your challenges and difficulties, maybe part of your upbringing, some of the elements that have challenged you throughout your life that have put you in this position. But when we go become teachers, we're not always privileged to have an ideal situation. Sometimes our karma is established to such an extent that your gifts, your insights are there to touch the people who have severe problems. In my estimation, if we take your brain and twist it around, it's an honor that you're there. You're helping kids that really need somebody special. And I understand that it may not be connected to your best comfort level or your best feeling, but it may be due to the fact that this way you need to be, because you're going to have a great impact on these kids. Even if you have adversity with parents and you're not getting along and it's difficulty and you're challenged, you have an opportunity to make an impact. And that will be registered on your soul once you transpire into the other elements, the ethers, and you will have made a difference. And this is what you have to consider, Alexandria, because it won't be permanent. This is a temporary situation. You had a change at the age of 42. Go ahead.
Well, and also she's going through a change right now because she's 35. So your karmic number isn't divisible by 5. So you actually go through changes every 5 years from birth to death, as well as from the age of 32 on. So this could be, I mean, your dog.
My dog's barking.
That's okay.
There's someone honking their horn outside. Sorry.
Okay. Oh, anyway, so what happened at 32? There should have been a change then, but obviously there's a change going on right now because whole work life was restructured.
32 was when I went to public school, when, of course, I'm outside and a car goes by really loud. 32 is when that change happened from private school to I was a little bit working kind of like a social worker, but working with kids who had IEPs, and then going into public school, where I went there and I knew that this is what I needed to be doing. This is where I needed to be. And some of those kids from the other class still come and see me because they look for that support. And I'm kind of that teacher that people know that they can come and talk to me about things. And
right.
It's difficult. It's difficult when, I guess, it's not the kids. I love the kids. And I hope I didn't come across like I don't, because I love
The
kids. It's the adults.
You made that clear.
No, I refer to you having trouble with the adults. No, we heard you.
Yeah.
But your question to us, am I supposed to be where I'm at? I'm not happy. What's your psychic take on this? I think you're supposed to be where you're at. I think that's what I think.
But it's possible that there could be some kind of change coming up at 37. I mean, she's got a couple of years to another cycle of her karmic number.
Well, what you're doing, you see, what we mean by master number, your birthday comes to the point of which you have you're a 32 equals 5. You're a math person. So 32 is not divisible by 5, but at 32 you have a change. But your life goes in multiples of 5. So that means you're on a multiple of 5 right now by 7. That's a spiritual energy. You're actually probably doing, here's what I think. I'm going to take you back to a time machine. I think in a past life you were a missionary or somebody that went to Indian tribes and taught them. It might have been kind of vulgar because white people teaching Indians, but I think you had some kind of past life element where you were a good person and you were teaching Native Americans something. That's what I think. I don't know in this lifetime if you connect to Native Americans or if you have any affinity towards the cowboy days or the pioneer days. It doesn't really matter.
Not really. My connection, I guess, would be more to the Holocaust. I have, my husband and I actually didn't know this about each other, but we both have a kind of like a passion for learning about the Holocaust and what happened.
You mean specifically the Jewish concentration camps?
Yes, yeah. I'm Polish. Our heritage came back from, our heritage came from that area, and my family actually left prior to the Holocaust happening. But I've always had like an interest in learning about it. And actually when I was younger, I wrote a quote unquote book because I liked learning about that history because it's the passion about, oh my gosh, why did this happen? We need to stop this from happening ever again and learn from what happened. I'm always big on learning from mistakes.
Here's the thing, Alexandria, we're talking about genocide and we're also talking about going back further in the time machine to previous pre-Holocaust days. So you were involved in that, I think, and then we jump forward in the time machine, we go to the Holocaust, which is more present in your consciousness.
Are you Polish Catholic or Polish Jew?
I actually don't know. I think it's Polish Jew, but I'm not positive.
Were you raised in a faith?
I was raised Catholic, but I don't... agree with it. I'm Lutheran now, but I feel where that's where I belong, Lutheran. Going back to my ancestry and to my heritage, I was able to trace us back to Lutheran, German Lutheran, but Polish because Poland wasn't existing, right? So they kind of spread all around. So I was able to trace some of my heritage to Austria, to the Polish side of Austria, to the German side of Austria. And they were Lutherans, and I didn't know that until, I want to say, a couple months ago. But I converted to Lutheranism probably 11 years ago.
That's interesting. That's interesting. But
and
you
I,
think
I feel like
some
home.
Jewish, there, you think there might be some Jewish lineage in your Polishness?
Well, you know, it's rooted to, first it's rooted to the narration of past life connection of some kind. We go back to the genocide on humanitarian terms in humanity, and we can talk about the Native American Indians. We can talk about the Jews, the Poles, the Catholics. Mm-hmm. People were concentrated in concentration camps of all types of religions. So that element is there. Now you face the world in your consciousness with crisis. I mean, if you're not connecting to La La Land in your consciousness. You're connecting to a terrible chapter of history. And so you came into the world facing dilemma, facing crisis, facing controversy. Mm-hmm. And you're in that now. You're in your right element. So if I were you, I would unscramble my brain and say, I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I'm supposed to connect to these people. And if I'm dealing with obnoxious parents, I'll just put up with it because the core issue is not to be comfortable. The core issue is to keep and to impact.
Right. It's not the parents. I guess I was saying it the correct, an incorrect way. I have what's called paraprofessionals in my classroom that I work with.
No, I got it.
They are,
I got it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That they're,
and the, parents are wonderful.
It's not administration. It's because the special needs kids need other support staff in the room. You know, right?
Right.
Am I understanding that correctly?
Right. My class is not a traditional. It's not a traditional class where I'm standing at the board and teaching. Literally,
right.
Every student has individual needs, and there are peers that work with them. So I hand out curriculum. Like I hand out, this is what I want you to do.
Could it be a medical professional or a psychological somebody? Is that the type of people that are in the room, or people that are trained specifically to deal with whatever special needs each individual child has? That's
right.
Who you're dealing
you're
with.
Passing out curriculum? Is that what all you're doing?
So I work with our students, but I work with the students more on the spectrum. So I hand out curriculum. I look at their behavior. I look at in a way I'm an empath because they can talk to me and I understand what they're saying without really them talking, which I understand why I was placed there, because I get the kids. Like I just get them. There's just no, I don't know how to explain it. I just understand what they're saying and some of their behaviors are maladaptive, but I understand them. But it's more of the adults that work with them because I am the head teacher. I hand out curriculum. I say, this is their schedule. This is what I want to work on. And kind of that's how I run my day all day long. I do work with the kids one-to-one, but they have more of a para that works with them directly.
Right. Give us an example of what conflict that you had with one of these adults.
One of the adults likes to be on the phone, and if an administration comes in and they're in the building, I'll say, hey, just I'm watching your back. Just be careful. Administration comes in. They're here. You don't want to be on your phone. And she'll start yelling at me. And I'm not her boss.
Yeah, no.
And it's kind of like there's certain things about our students that it takes a while for them to learn. They can't learn it overnight. And I had some issues with that too. And part of this though is my awkwardness. I probably am a little on the spectrum myself. I have ADHD. So I get the kids so much, but with the adults, I have the conflict. And
first of all, and are these personal calls that adult is on the phone with? Is she on personal calls?
I don't know. I don't know a lot. I know that there's maybe some.
Isn't that disruptive?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that person being on the phone during class time disruptive to the class?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I would personally, I would address the issue again with her and say, listen, I may not be your boss, but this is a classroom. And this is distracting. You being on the phone is distracting to the students. It's disrupting the learning process. And if you don't comply with staying off the phone during class time, then I'm going to report you to administration. That's ridiculous. She doesn't belong in a classroom if she can't stay off her phone. So, that's how I personally would deal with it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe
no,
you have a different,
I agree.
But it needs to be addressed and you shouldn't have to put up with it. And more importantly, the students that are trying to learn shouldn't have to put up with it. And the other people that are pairing with the students shouldn't have to put up with it because it affects everyone in the classroom. It affects everybody.
I completely I 110% agree. And I've tried, but I don't know what the big block is and what.
Well, you've tried. What have you done exactly? Like, you've talked to her.
I've talked to other people who have more power than I do.
You have talked to administration. They're not doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
sounds like you've got a problem.
Which is why I'm asking if I'm where I belong.
Well, there's a pro. I mean, you know, there's another teacher that we know that has that's in a situation with a school where it is. I mean, the administration is so messed up. It's unbelievable, and how they're approaching teaching is like the students teach themselves, and the teachers are just there to observe the students and be there if the students ask for help. But they're not supposed to provide instruction. It's this new approach to teaching and learning.
Oh my gosh.
And it's ridiculous.
Oh, I agree.
So,
that's not student-centered.
No, it's not.
Some students can do that, but not every student, and that shouldn't be for at all. That's not meeting every student's needs.
No, and this school actually happens to be a school that deals with kids that are from trauma-based environments. So they are from, homes that are economically deprived. They come from families that are involved in gangs, things like this. So they definitely need leadership and guidance. They can't teach themselves. These are not the candidates for self-teaching.
There's a problem. One of the problems you're having is that this other staff, they're apathetic.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the direct seed of passion about teaching and the commitment. So, you know, we can look at people in the concentration camps who turned their eyes the other way, even though they saw atrocities being committed. What mm-hmm. one thing you could do, and I'm looking at this like a movie script, is you tell the kids mm-hmm. to tell them to get off the phone, that they need more attention. And you just start to use the children as a means through which to get to the adults that are distracted mm-hmm. by teaching. I mean, to me, it's a crime what they're doing. So if that doesn't work for you and you don't feel comfortable implementing the children in this and using them as pawns, there might be a better way to direct right in front of their face and say, are you committed to teaching? Are you committed to gossiping?
What about involving the other adults that are pairing with the children? Would they be a party to assisting you in dealing with a situation like this? Because they have to be the point.
When you have a room full of adults that are women, what happens? Right? I probably don't need to say any more.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like, is there any administration above who you've already spoken with that can be addressed about this?
Yes, I have.
You've gone as high as you can possibly go.
From what I think, though, it's more of an issue that is not just centered in one individual or two individuals. It's just like
the
whole.
Yeah. So it's the whole school, but like the other school I was talking about.
Yeah, but it's not, I don't think it's necessarily where I teach. I think this is kind of happening everywhere. And for me, again, I am awkward when it comes to adults and having to lead adults. I want to get along with everybody. I want everybody to be happy. I want my kids to be taught first and foremost. I feel confident in what I do. I'm very educated. You know, I'm overly educated for the job that I have. I have a doctorate degree in education. But I just question myself and if this is where I'm supposed to do, because I feel like I have to do something more. Like I'm supposed to be doing something way more. I don't know. It's hard for me to explain.
No, I mean, maybe you are supposed to be doing something way more,
but at the
and you
time,
can look at your
options.
Yeah. What would you like to be doing?
I have no idea.
Well, that doesn't.
I have no idea.
Well, you
well,
know.
Well, don't. Go ahead.
Yep. I mean, do you want to write papers? Do you want to stay in the teaching mode? Do you want to write a journal? You know, do you want to write a book about the teach? I mean, do you want to stay in teaching?
Yes, I want to stay in teaching. Want to stay in teaching, not necessarily severe needs because it's havoc on your body after many, many years. And I have some medical issues that, you know, I have to be careful. I do see myself teaching, Do I see myself in a supervisory position? Maybe when I'm older. Do I see myself, because the degree I have is in leadership and administration, do I see myself as a principal or a superintendent? Maybe. I don't know, but that's after I get my fill with the kids. Right now I feel like I should
you
be working
feel like
with
you
them.
Want to be hands-on, but the problem is that the structure of so many schools is changed so dramatically in the past year. Mm-hmm. That you don't know what you're getting yourself into, even if you change schools. I mean, you know, you could have another host of problems. So I very much
contemplated changing schools, very much, but then it comes back to what am I doing to my kids, to the kids that I've been teaching? It's not okay. I know these kids, and for them to start all over again, it's that mentality too.
No,
you can't do this again.
They're in your care and they're in your keep, and your comfort level is not what's the parent. I get it. You have issues and conditions and there's all kinds of contingencies going on. But if you're committed to teaching from this psychic viewpoint, you're supposed to stay where you're at. However, I will say this. If you start to experiment and apply elsewhere, look for the name Carol.
Okay. Carol.
If that appears, then what I'm getting is that you should gravitate towards that institution or that application that is synonymous with that name. And that
Carolyn?
Might be what's that?
Carolyn?
Could
Carolyn?
I was going to ask, is there someone right now in the environment with that name?
Yes, there is.
Okay.
Yes, we're Carolyn. Carolyn,
okay,
yes.
So tell us a little bit about Carolyn.
She's my co-teacher.
She's your co-teacher.
Oh, okay,
well,
so here's the thing.
Yeah, here's where you're at.
No, here's the thing. This is tribal.
Yeah.
That co-teacher, you're in a tribal situation, whether you like it or not. You're supposed to be there.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Stay where you're at.
You've
got
to be there. And
at least for now.
Eliminate your conflicts.
Okay.
For the time being.
So co-teacher, we didn't know you had a co-teacher, but you pulled it out, Neil, with the name. So how do you have a co-teacher? Is she as offended as you by the things that are going on in the classroom that is disruptive to the learning process of the students?
Yes.
Okay. So you need to.
But we're.
Go ahead.
We're people pleasers, I guess.
Hey, you may be people pleasers, but you two need to form an alliance in order to combat this problem. Has she complained to administration as well?
Yes.
She has. Have you done it together?
Yes.
I would be
more aggressive with
people in
the classroom.
Formulate your own alliance. Alexandria with Carolyn. Does she ever go by Carol? Is it always Carolyn?
I would say always Carolyn.
It doesn't matter.
It's close enough. So form an alliance with her. Do the best job you can. Keep these children in your keep under the best circumstances that you can administer. And stay there for a while.
Stay there for a while. This is the thing. Alexandria. You're going through a change right now. We've identified what your change was at 32. We know what your change is right now because you're having all these issues going on at your school. But you have another change coming up at the age of 37. Just because you have to be there now does not mean you have to be there for the rest of your life.
Right.
It's possible that, you know, maybe you're there a couple more years. Maybe there's ways to manage the environment in the classroom. Is it as much of a problem online when you're teaching?
No. Well,
so that's
okay. I have a question.
Maybe
did you have any dramatic loss in your life? A parent, a mother, a father, a grandchild, a grandfather.
That's something about a father.
Oh yeah, I lost my dad. I lost my dad 8 years ago. I lost my grandmother who raised me 7 years ago. And I recently lost my birth mother in December.
Okay. So this is a psychic impression we're getting. You're validating it. You see, you came into the world with the karma of loss and the impact of loss. So you have a handicap too. You have a special need too, because the nurturing figures around you left prematurely, so to speak. And so,
and they even said
now,
she was raised by her grandmother, not even her birth mother.
I know,
and
her grandmother's son.
Yeah.
So now you're in the position of being present for young people who need your presence. And we have to incorporate the idea that you came in with loss and conflict after having experienced some stability. So you didn't come into the world with instability. You came into the world with the experience of loss. And so if you abandon these children now, you're contributing to a sense of loss. Not right. You just need to be there.
Right.
Do your best. I don't know if this registers with your current state of mind or if we've changed your mind, but that's at least what my advice is.
I agree. I think so.
Any other questions that you have, or do you feel better, worse? Just calling.
I know. I feel yesterday with that parent coming out and admitting that she knew my dad, because yes, I wasn't raised by my parents. They had a lot of issues. My dad was an alcoholic, had gotten into a car accident when he was drinking, and he's tetraplegic. My birth mother, drug abuser, and mentally ill.
Alexandria, you are one of your students.
Exactly.
You're just grown up, but you are one of them. You came from the same assemblage of karma that they did. It's just that the universe gave you the opportunity of being an adult to come
to guide
back to
them
your
rather than to. You weren't born with those kinds of disabilities that
that's
they
your
have.
Tribe.
You're leading the tribe.
You're Oliver Twist
so
grown
speak.
Up. You know, you're going back to administer to your group. You are one of those children. And in essence, your soul is still one of those children. Celebrate the fact
okay.
that you're there. This is of great advantage to you. You're fulfilling a karma. And not only that, but you're transcending your karma by coming back to your tribe and helping them work through their issues. Just celebrate it. Don't worry about the other aspects. Ignore it. Just do what you're doing and give it everything you've got.
I will definitely try. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys helping me through this.
Okay, you're welcome. You're welcome to keep in touch with us too, Alexandria. You may call our show again. We're normally on during the week, but if you're not able to call on our show time, you can join us on Facebook. We invite you to like our page, and you're always welcome to keep in touch by email, whatever you need to do. Okay. Or you can contact us privately for a reading to explore this further. All right. We've got about 20 minutes left. Slow day.
Well, you know, we'll get into the issue of tribal.
Well,
topic we've covered.
Yes.
And the way we come back to sometimes meet our old tribes.
Well, and sometimes, and the thing is, sometimes in situations like Alexandria's, the tribal situation that one is in is not meant to be, you don't linger in it. You got to get out. In her case, the advice is not to get out, but to stay there at least for a certain period of time.
I agree.
So it depends. It depends on each individual case. I mean, it really is not cut and dry.
No, it isn't.
You have to analyze
sometimes
the karma.
You have to leave your tribe.
A lot of times you do.
Yeah. And that's just the way it is. But you have to determine what the factors are and why and what's going to be the best thing. And yes, indeed, there are two ways of looking
and
at
you can
it.
Be in a right. And you can be in a situation where you're in a tribal setting and you're helping others, you're teaching or doing or whatever it is that could be of help to humanity, being a doctor or a nurse, but you still need to leave, even though you're in a position to help. So it isn't even contingent on what your role in that situation is. It's contingent on personal karma and what that karma means to the individual. And
true. Tribal consciousness can be rooted to severe karma, or it can be rooted to ultimate transcendence, or maybe a little bit of both. But sometimes we have to leave our karmic tribe
in order
to
transcend.
It's sort of like a redemption of sorts, where you leave your tribe, you go through the forest of life, and you find that you connect to a whole new tribe. It sometimes happens that our karmic tribes aren't necessarily going to be our transcendent tribes. So there is a breaking away. Even in biblical sense, you break away
from
your mother
parents.
And father, and you find your energy. That, you know, but there can be returns, but not in all cases. But when we get into the idea of tribal consciousness, we have to incorporate that with karma, and we also incorporate that with transcendence, because our tribal consciousness involves both things from our past, and then it involves a transition to something creative and new. And that, and it may still be rooted in some kind of past life composition, but nonetheless, sometimes it just feels totally reborn, like you're reborn into something totally different. And you don't follow the traditions. Classic examples are people who grow up in a very mechanical environment, and they disagree with their family, and they become an artist. And they're disowned. It's terrible. They don't follow the tradition, and they go off on their own. There are children who are born in the families who don't relate to their family at all, and they're transvestites, or they're something. They're different, and nobody understands them. It's a mess of karma. We come into the world not clean. We come into the world dirty with karma, smudged, disoriented. We are trying to find ourselves. And if we have to go through karma to get there, then we go through it. That's the taste of energy. But then sometimes we have to break away, and it's not always easy, but not in all cases. Some people remain intact throughout their life with their families or whatever, and some people don't. It all depends on the consciousness, not their issues of guilt or obligation. It's not always about that. Those are important issues, but it's not always about that. Sometimes the sheer root force of transitioning into something higher. And sometimes it's not the easiest thing to do. But when we get into this tribal consciousness, it's interesting because, well, this last caller connected to the Holocaust. And, you know, maybe part of it is because she's Polish and she's got some interest in it. And maybe there was something in her upbringing that brought out issues of the Holocaust. But, you know, the way her mind gravitates, I don't think she's on the air anymore.
She's listening.
Oh, the way her mind gravitates towards the issue of interest can be rooted to something conscious,
or
but it's also rooted to something
unconscious. So probably past life. There was probably a past life Holocaust.
One of the most important aspects of the human brain is the compartment of unconsciousness. That selective unconsciousness, you can call it collective unconsciousness. You didn't even believe that we had a consciousness regarding the universe. And outside of the constructs of just the psychological dimensions of our upbringing, of our brain, you went later, deeper into it, and start to talk about symbols. And collective unconsciousness means that our brains have the capacity to have all knowledge. So we have this collective unconsciousness that involves past lives, the universe, the spheres, all energies. And when we tap into that, according to our talents or our capabilities, we start to reach deeper. That's why people become geologists, archaeologists, coming from a little hometown in, you know, Kansas, we branch out and we start to discover our roots. And then somewhere along that journey, we attach ourselves to a topic, a specific element of time and space. And then we start to gather the information as to what were we doing back in that time? Why are we returned to the earth to connect to it again? And those are the things I think are kind of fascinating and important when we look at the journey of life in our own individual space. And it's interesting, some people just stay at home. Emily Dickinson just stays at home, writes her poems, locks them in a drawer, and that's life. But, you know,
but there's a difference between an Emily Dickinson staying at home and creating great works and someone who stays at home and, you know, is just flipping through the channels via remote control. So
some people just stay home and they're locked in their home and they don't do much of anything except take the trash out and watch television. No. Read a book. It all depends. This is life. We live it to the best degree we can. Some of us are confined by trauma, and some of us just come in with a soul that has no aspirations. It's sad. Depression's a state of being, and it can lock us into a where we're just secluded. We're dead weight. And then, you know, we get to the tail end of life, not to make life too depression, but look at our old people who are in rest homes. We just wake up, sit in their wheelchairs in the hallway. The bell rings. They go to breakfast, lunch. They hear some music pipe through the wall.
Please, can we please not
and,
do this?
And, you know, what we have to do is the involvement
really
of life.
Depressing.
The involvement of life.
Well, and what's more depressing now, it makes...
Well... You know, look at the animals of comfort. When animals of comfort come into sanitariums or rest homes, they don't question the staff. They're just to comfort the older people, the sick, the disabled. They go there for a mission. Maybe they're geared towards it, but certain animals have a certain disposition where they're totally docile, they're warm, they're compassionate, they're loving, they cuddle, and they give people meaning again.
I know, but what's happened within so many of our, in so many,
there are people who are locked in.
They're locked in now, especially because of COVID.
Yeah, and people
are so they're not getting that, you know, support from animal therapy and things like that. People aren't seeing their own family. So it's very sad how people are being isolated right now in our world and separated.
There's
and what's being
isolation.
Forced by this threat, quote, threat to all of us, which is something I question every day. So,
you know, there is a tremendous sense of isolation, and it's a sad thing. And there are people who are reaching out, people who are making a difference. We don't live in a comforting world. Forget it. This world is not comfortable unless you have the means to seclude yourself and make yourself comfortable. But this world is not a comfortable world. I don't mean to say there isn't beauty and that there isn't a sense of comfort that we can find. But overall, generally speaking, we don't live in a comfortable world.
Well, but it's unprecedented. I mean, what's happening now? People are dying without being able to even connect with human beings that they were close to. There's glass partitions that separate. There's no human contact now because of the threat of COVID. And people, like you were saying, in rest homes, I mean, they're not only isolated like they were in the past just because they don't have human interaction and there aren't people that care, but those with people that care aren't even allowed to see those people because of this. I mean, and it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse.
And we
it's
look
going
at,
to get
you know,
worse.
We look at the karma of the homeless. You know, you see a tarp on the street and there's a human being sleeping under it. Who have makes no connections with anybody, but there's a human being under there.
What we might be able to say to Alexandria in her favor is that she, her classes could go to all Zoom, which would eliminate some of her problems with the people that she's dealing with within the classroom. As much as I would hate to see, in-person learning diminished and all over the country.
Right.
As it has been here, it may be beneficial to her. We have a caller.
Welcome to the happy hour.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Mindy. How are you guys?
Yeah, hi, Mindy. Hi. We're doing okay.
Yeah, I was listening to what you guys were saying. The stupid pandemic is just, isn't it something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's traumatic. Yeah.
So she
but
is
how are you guys?
12977. We're doing fine otherwise.
Oh. Are you crying?
No.
No, I'm sitting on top of her. And
No, Neil, okay, well what happened was Neil presented this imagery of people in, I don't know if you caught that part, people in rest homes in isolation and then
And then Kristen got all teary-eyed when we were, I was discussing it. But that doesn't excuse the fact that she's committing me to a sanitarium next year.
So you're sitting on her to make her...
I'm sitting on her and she's crying because she says I'm too heavy. You know.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, but Mindy, we did ask you to follow up. Which I actually have been thinking about you. And
I know, I was thinking about you too, and I just happened and I was so excited when I saw that you had a couple minutes left. I was like, oh, yay.
Oh, great. So what's the news? Anything? Do you remember the situation?
Well, there's no news. I've got, they have restrained me from my kids totally. They've gone against court rules and they issued the restraining order even though it wasn't served with enough time. So I'm restrained from my kids now, and then I met a guy who came in, and he just kind of ghosted me, and I don't know, there's just, and but I do have work stuff going on that I got a big, an opportunity for a big contract yesterday, and so I'm really nervous about that because it's an outfit out of Arizona that's looking for somebody to do flooring for them all over, and they would fly me, and so I'm that's got me a little bit nervous because I don't know if that's set up through the, my kid's dad's attorney, if that's like one of those things, because it just seemed too good to be true, and it's like right by her office. It just seems like they.
What do you mean? You're paranoid about this not being legitimate?
Yeah, I'm paranoid that they're trying to set me up to get me in trouble somehow or something. I feel like a paranoid schizophrenic everything I do anymore. It's like I can't I've got her against me, and she's got so many people that are puppeteering for her that it's like I feel like I can't even. Function.
Mindy, what's this contract? How did they contact you? What is it all about?
Well, he found me on Google or whatever, but and he got a hold of me and he asked if I was willing to travel, and I said, well, I'm not going to travel down to show her some sample boards to your corporate office. No, I said I can send those to her digitally. He goes, no, I meant come to work for us, like for you know, and do big contracts. I was like, well, I mean that's something to think about, but. I mean, I'm just a little tadpole in that pool of things, you know, as far as that's concerned.
Well, that's a little weird.
Well, how could you get in trouble? I mean, what would get you in trouble? Would it be the traveling?
I don't know. I feel like she's trying. I feel like she's going to put. I feel like this gentleman that came into my life lately. I don't know if he was. I mean, like he just ghosted me for no reason. I don't know if he. And he said that he was getting like $20,000. But I saw her bank account statement for December, and she deposited $46,000, and she's an attorney. So how does she get that kind of money? What is she doing? Is she trafficking kids? I mean, she can't be doing it. There's got to be something she's doing that's illegal there because that just seems like it's a tremendous amount of money for her to be. And I only got that because I got onto the court's website, and I saw the motions that they file for the judge's bench copies because I'm my own attorney, so – you can see everything that everybody's filed for the bench copies for the judges on that website. And so I was able to pull those documents out of there. And that's the only reason that I got that information was because it wasn't sealed, and it was in there. So I'm concerned, because I mean, that kind of money to people, like, you know, to most people, that's, I mean, she, that's 1 month of wages. I mean, she probably could buy the town, you know. It makes me a little nervous, because she's really, they're all against me, and they want me out of my kid's life. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do, so that when my kids turn 18, they don't have, I'm going to be far away, so that they can't have anything to do with me, so they can continue the brainwashing.
So we're, I think we're both, Neil and I are looking at each other lost a little bit. This woman isn't a judge that you're talking about?
No, she's an attorney, and she's the one that's got all the judges against me. She's the one that has the judges have me restrained from my house. Yes, and she's the one, the judges restrained me from my house, totally violated my constitutional rights, and has taken my kids away from me without following local civil rules for procedures. And, I mean, they're just letting her get away with do whatever she wants. And
but how
they've got me restrained from my home.
How is she connected in your thought process to this job? The contract that we've been offered.
Oh, I don't know. It just seemed like, I mean, anytime I have anything good that happens, it's like there's going to be some, I don't know. She's ruined everything,
and
honestly.
How did you apply for the job? How did the contract come about?
They contacted me. So I do epoxy floors and counters and walls. So they contacted me, and he asked me to put in the bid for, they're doing a total block renovation of an apartment building apartments over here. And so he wanted me to do the laundry room floors with epoxy, and they don't have a local contractor. They don't have a contractor with their huge construction company to do floors. They've got somebody that does bathtubs and stuff like that, but they don't have an epoxy company established for the floors. So he asked me if I was willing to come on with them and travel and go to Arizona, and they would pay me to do that, but they needed to have a designated flooring contractor. And I said, yeah, I'd be willing to do that, but I just want to make sure that it's not something, it's not a set, like he's not affiliated, or this is not,
well,
you know what I mean?
If you go to there, check it out, how could you be in any danger by just going to check it out?
Oh, no, there's no danger in that. I'm just, no, there's no danger in that. I might be just being paranoid, but, I mean, it seems like everything I've done, she's been on the back end doing work, you know.
What could be the result? Say you accepted this job. What is the worst-case scenario? What is the worst-case scenario that could happen if she's involved?
Well, I don't know if that's their way to get close to me, so that they can put something around me to set me up, or, you know, like with a, you know, I mean, it'd be easy to plant something in my car, you know what I'm saying?
Like plant drugs in your car, or do
yeah or
something
to get me in trouble. Like I just feel like that's the person she is, and she's not beyond paying somebody to do that to make sure that I am out of my kid's life forever.
It seems like
what she's done in my life has been nothing but that, like, honestly.
Yeah. And this is like, boy.
Well,
I mean, they're breaking rules to keep me out of my house. They're breaking rules.
Yeah.
They're entering orders, breaking rules to keep me away from my kids. And yeah.
I think there's some legitimate claim to your concern if you've already experienced some diabolical process going on with your ex and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't beyond them. So I get what you're saying. I don't like to feed into paranoia, but I understand your concern. How much money are they offering you?
Well, we haven't really spoke about money. I have to put in my bid today for just this little laundry room, but there's going to be about, 20 more that's going to come up here. And there's going to be a demand for, you know, them to travel with them when they're going to do other projects and stuff too in the future.
It's a company that manages apartment buildings.
It's a general contractor, and they're out of Arizona, and they flew up from Arizona to Washington to reconstruct this whole block of apartments. And so it looks like Disneyland.
So I would check out the business. and see if you can. I mean, you're great at doing research. You need to find out more about their company and who is associated with that company. Because if she is associated with the company, there's going to be some financially, there's got to be some record of it.
Yeah. And if someone's going to sabotage you and they've got money to fly you out there, they can come to your area and sabotage you.
Yeah.
You know, put something in your car. I don't know. It's got to be checked out. It's got to be checked out.
And then this last guy that was here, I don't know where he came from, but I let him take my car for a day. He was gone for like 12 hours and I almost called the police on him. But and then he left me and he said that he was getting like $20,000 and he just ghosted me. And I was like, what the hell is with that?
Who is this guy? Who are you lending your car to for 12 hours? I mean,
well,
I'm not
guy,
lent
yeah,
to for 12 hours, but he took it for 12 hours. But who are you lending your car to? Is this a romantic interest or?
Yeah, it was somebody that kind of just came in and swooned me off my feet and you know, had me believing he was somebody different, but then he just like took off and ghosted me. I was like, oh.
You have to be so careful because you're already in this karmic mess with your kids, your ex, your community. And even if he's not connected, which he probably isn't to these people, you're vulnerable to people that are unethical. And you've got to keep your guard up.
Yeah.
And lending your car out to someone who you don't know that well.
Yeah.
A smart idea. You've got to
be I know that, but
super careful. Not that we're criticizing you at all, Mindy. I mean, it's understandable and having like someone that you're feeling like a.
It's not understandable. I can't understand why I did that. Like, honestly, like I look at that and I'm like, what the hell are you thinking, you idiot?
But the fact is that you felt, you know, love, a connection with another human being, probably something you haven't felt in a while, and that broke down some of your barriers, and so you opened yourself up. But unfortunately, right now, you've got to be very, very, very careful. I just want to before we go off there, because we're actually done with the show, we're a little bit over, but I want to just calculate something. It's okay. But I, 2020... you're 43 years old.
42.
So you have
I'll be 43.
Right, 43. I'm sorry. 43 in 2020. So 40. You'll be 43 in
December.
And you go through another change at 45. Because your cycles are long. You're a master number 9. So you'll be in your fifth cycle of 9. Right now you're in your fourth cycle. You started at the age of 36. When did all these troubles start happening with your kids?
About when I was 36. That's so crazy.
Yeah. See, I'm glad that we did this little.
So 42, I'm going to go, or 43, I'm going, when am I going through the next big cycle? Is that that's going to be prison. Oh my God, I'm going to freak out.
No, it's okay. So I start crying, now you're crying. It's contagious. 45, you go through a change. So you're in a cycle right now from the age of 36 to 45. You have long cycles because your master number is 9. For instance, if you roll 1, you have 3 over here. I'm sorry, say that again?
Maybe I should just go build my coffin and just...
No, don't build your coffin. But the thing is, you know, you may go through some of these troubles. I mean, you may be going through this for another few years, but you're not that far away from a change. You're only a couple years away from a change. But I would say to be very cautious during this time. And so, like, in the way that you're exercising caution in the situation with this company, same thing with people, men. Be very careful.
Mm-hmm.
I would say always, not just during this cycle necessarily, because you're someone who's vulnerable. You've got that 29 in your energy, which is trouble for sure. So be careful. But it's not necessarily bad with this company. You've got to just do some more research.
Yeah.
Got to do some more research.
I don't know if she did some work for them as far as attorney or advising, or if they're, I just don't know how they're, I don't know if they're affiliated, but it just seems too good to be true. And usually when I get that feeling, there's something lurking behind the, you know, and I'm like, why didn't you listen to your gut, you dumbass?
Well, you don't, you know what? It's not even about gut here. You're so good at researching and getting information that you're going to be able to dig deep enough to find out if there's a connection, I think, between this attorney and this company. So start looking.
Just see about financials, if there's any financial connections.
Yeah, I would see if
because
there's any
financial connections. Because those have to be public disclosure. Anybody who's in a public, like attorneys, if I were to do an audit on her or something, to do a financial audit or something, wouldn't they have to disclose that?
I would imagine so, don't you think, Neil?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I would start looking at that. And, you know,
yeah,
there's no harm in giving a bid for the small job.
Yeah.
You know, if they want to plant something, but the thing is, before we close, if they want to plant something in your car, I mean, if, for instance, this guy could have done it, that you were, you know, they could have set this guy
That's
up.
That's what I was concerned.
Right.
Because it's
so,
like, as soon as he got what, as soon as he was just out of here and just gone and done, and he was like, I'm getting like $20,000 or whatever. I was like, where are you getting $20,000 from? I mean, like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, and he didn't put anything in your car. There's been no legal action that's been taken against you. When did this all happen? When did he borrow your car?
Well, he just last week, maybe a week ago. And he's already ghosted me. Like, he won't even respond to me. Nothing.
Well, don't
talk
to him anymore. I would just forget him.
No, I blocked him.
Random scammer. He's probably just a random scammer. But, you know, I don't know if they would. I think you have legitimate concerns about this company, and you should do research. But
mm-hmm.
My point is, they could set you up so much easier than doing it through a prospective employer, where you can actually track their, you know, financial involvement with the company versus a private individual who you can't find anything on unless you hire a private detective and, you know, have to spend all this money to find out, you know, if there's a connection. So that's what we suggest. And keep in touch with us. Keep keeping in touch.
I will. I was so glad to see that you guys were on. I was like, yes.
Yeah, normally it's Wednesday, Friday, but we changed the week, and sometimes we have to change just due to scheduling issues. So, we generally post the show the day it happens, but you can check our schedule on Blog Talk Radio. There should be a listing of the schedule ahead of time. Okay.
Awesome. Okay. You guys are so awesome. You guys are so good together, too. I just love you guys.
Oh, thanks so much. We really appreciate
that. Oh, good.
That.
I'll be able to get off for now.
Even if he is sitting on you, it's a good thing.
No, he's not big enough. He's exaggerating. Quite slender.
No, but you're tiny.
we're a small couple. We fit.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, have a good weekend.
Thank you for your call. Keep
us posted.
I will. I definitely will. You guys have a blessed weekend, too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay. We are back on the air Wednesday. Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. You can always find us in the archives. Callers, want to remind people that we're on iTunes. I don't think it's iTunes anymore.
I thought it was YouTube.
Yeah, that too. But Apple Podcasts. And Apple Podcasts, you may find us on, I believe we're on Stitcher as well. So replays of our shows are available there. You may review our shows on those sites. We appreciate it. Do follow us. And have a great weekend. We'll speak with you next week. Bye.